To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Inyard. Bob's out of town today, so I've got the hot seat today. Lots to tell you. Lots to tell you. Hopefully I can get through it all without crying. But I've had a pretty interesting life for the last couple of weeks. 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, I met a young woman named Karen. It's not her real name. I'm not going to give you her real name outside of Planned Parenthood. I talked to her on her way in and tried to talk her out of having an abortion. She wouldn't listen. On the way out, she hadn't had the abortion and she listened again. She took my phone number, but I could not convince her not to have the abortion. I'm going to go on with the story in a minute. I want to remind you that this is a share-a-thon month. We need to keep Bob on the air. And we're hoping that you guys will call in and support him. One of the reasons that I can be successful is because Bob continually hounds the abortion issue. I know some people are not thrilled with that, but babies die every day. And what it's done is it's raised interest and it gets people out on the streets with me. And it's raised awareness and people need to know exactly what's going on with abortion in order to be able to be equipped to fight it. And in the last couple of years, I mean, Christy Burton has raised up out of almost nowhere, and she's in the Denver Post today and did a fantastic job against two writers from Planned Parenthood. She just knocked the ball out of the park, I think. She did an excellent job. So if you get the Post or if you can go online and look it up, look it up. She did a fabulous job with defining what personhood is and really articulating the fact that Planned Parenthood has an archaic argument that everyone knows is false. Bob isn't in today because he's dealing with some issues down in Colorado Springs. I'm going to let him tell you about that when he gets back. Now, back to my story. I met Karen outside of the abortion clinic, and she left, and I thought, please, please, just call me tonight, and we'll talk on the phone tonight, and she didn't. So I thought that, oh, she's just hardening her heart. She's going to kill this baby. And 2 days passed, and my phone rang. I looked at the caller ID, and I didn't recognize it. I answered the phone, and she said, Joe, do you remember me? I met you outside of Planned Parenthood. And I said, Karen? She said, yes, can you help me? And so I made an appointment to have lunch with her the next day. And when we had lunch, she told me that she had found out that she was pregnant just 2 days ago, and then 3 days ago, and then when I saw her at Planned Parenthood, she found out that she was 32 weeks pregnant. She had no idea she was pregnant, and I can understand why. I saw her. She had no indications whatsoever in her body shape that she was pregnant. And to find out that she was that far along, we had discussed in the car that she was a Christian. And we talked about how Jesus loved the baby in her belly. And when she called me, she said, I can't do it. I know that God would hate it. So I met with her and we discussed her circumstances, which were really tough circumstances. And she told me that day that she wanted to put the baby up for adoption, which is a tough thing to do. We talked through the whole adoption process and if that's something she really wanted to do. And I was pretty convinced then that that's what she was going to do. But she was also concerned that the baby wouldn't be healthy because she went through her cycle every month as scheduled on time and with no different than any other time. So she thought the baby might be sick. And so we talked through that, and her fears were relieved. And so she went home, and we began the adoption process. So we kept in touch, and Rachel Troyer helped me get her to her different destinations where she needed to go because my schedule was so busy at that time. And a few Days later, she called me and said that she needed a place to live, and one of the families in our church immediately took her in, which was wonderful. So she didn't have to wait to look for a place to live. So she was with them for the next few weeks. And then Ken and I had to leave town for a week, and I told Ken, I just have a feeling that Karen is going to go into labor while we're gone, because babies do that. They always get an inkling when the worst possible time is, and then they come. So we left, and sure enough, she went into labor, and we were 2 hours away. So we hurried. As soon as we got the phone call, we came down, and we walked into that hospital room with excitement, anticipation, and some apprehension, because we knew that she had just had her child, and we didn't know what kind of a condition she was going to be in because of the adoption situation. And so we opened the door, and there she was on the bed with her child in her arms, just cooing with him and talking to him and getting ready to feed him and just really enjoying her time with her baby. Sat on the bed next to her, and I wrapped her in my arms, and I said, honey, are you sure that you want to put your baby up for adoption? And she said, yes. And she said, I'm absolutely sure. And then she told me she had named the baby on his birth certificate. She named her child Joseph Scott and her last name. I couldn't believe it. What an honor. I couldn't believe it. He even had curly hair like mine. I couldn't believe it. It was such an honor to have something like that happen. And I was humbled and awed by the whole experience. So she had to stay in the hospital for a couple of days because she had a couple of complications, and they just wanted to watch her and the baby, and it was nothing serious. So she had those 2 days to spend with her son. But the day her baby was born, we called the adoption agency. I'm not going to give out any specifics because I don't want to identify her and I don't want to identify the adopting parents. But I am going to tell you the story. So we called the adoption agency the afternoon after the baby was born and asked them to bring over some profiles, because this had happened so quickly that she hadn't even had a chance to look at any of the profiles for the parents wanting to adopt a child. So they brought over four. And we just pored over the resumes, and we had asked for Christian families. There was a lot in the resumes about money and how wealthy they are and what kind of vacations they take, where they go, what they do. Not one word about God or Jesus or even their church. So we were really disappointed. After we called them, Ken was in the room, my husband Ken, and Rachel Troyer, that's Jason Troyer's new wife, wonderful young lady, and, you know, just jumped into our ministry with both feet. She was in the room, and we held hands, and we prayed, God, please give us wisdom and insight into who Joseph's parents are going to be. And we had so many specifics. Karen had been praying specifically for certain qualities in the parents for her son, and we knew we had a tall order out there. So we called the agency back and we said, look, we went through these and there isn't anyone that even meets satisfaction. That's what Karen told them. So a couple of hours later, Ken and Rachel had to leave the room and go do some errands. And it was just Karen and I left in the room when the counselor from the agency showed up with a new packet, several new packets of parents. And so I opened the first packet and I read to Karen the letter from the dad, and we loved him immediately. He loved the Lord. He was unashamed of that. He was himself. He was real in the letter. From the moment we read the letter, we liked Dad. And then I read Mom's letter and we were captivated. We loved her. Before we even, each packet comes with a DVD so you can watch a movie that they have produced to introduce themselves to the moms. So we put the DVD in and we began watching, and I'm going to call Mom Jess. It's just so I can have a name to refer to while I'm telling you this story. Jess's eyes won us over immediately. She has the softest, most compassionate, loving eyes, yet you can tell she's no pushover. And she was openly talking about the Lord, openly talking about discipline, openly telling us everything that we wanted to hear. And she'd never met us. It was just amazing. So we were so excited. We were crying. We were both in tears when the DVD was over. I called my husband Ken and told him he was crying, and then we called Rachel and she was all excited. And so we had chosen Joseph's parents. Well, the adoption agency has homes for the babies to go to during the interim period. Karen was told she had to be away from the baby for a few days, and then they would meet with her again to make sure that her decision was sure, that she wasn't going to change her mind, and then they would contact the parents, because they didn't want to give the family false hope of getting a child when she would maybe change her mind in a few days. So Karen wouldn't hear of the baby going to a stranger's home. So it was decided that I would take little Joseph home, and I was thrilled. This little guy was up every hour on the hour all night long, and I loved it. I loved that he was screaming. I loved that he was peeing on me. I loved everything. I just loved it because I got to be with him and hold him and cherish him, and so did Ken. We would hold him at night and pray for him and pray for his new family and pray for his mom. And then we would argue over who was going to feed him next, because we just loved him so much and love him so much. It was an awesome time for us. I'm no spring chicken, and I was up all night for several nights. And so was Ken, on and off. And so I may be a little emotional because this has all just come to fruition, because I'm tired and I'm ecstatic for this little boy. So after Karen met with the counselors, after her little stint away from Joseph, she told the counselors that she had made her mind up, that she was sure that she could not provide him with a home, but she found the family that she had been praying for. So it was determined that we would meet the family the next day. Well, we could hardly contain ourselves because we knew that the adoption agency was going to call these people that we've been planning their life now for 3 or 4 days. And they were going to call them and let them know that their son is waiting for them. And we were just, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when they got that phone call. Because imagine waiting and waiting and waiting for a child and not knowing what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, your phone rings and they say, well, there's a baby for you. We were so thrilled for them. We kept praying and asking God to make sure that they would love this child the same way we did, but not exactly that, that they would understand that this baby was coming, because they were handpicked. And we went the next day. Letitia, I'm trying not to give out her name. Karen said that she would meet with them the next day and asked that I be at the meeting. And they gave her permission for me to be there because she didn't want to go by herself. She was a little nervous, and she wanted to be able to tell them the story, Joseph's story, and she wanted me beside her. So I, of course, was just ecstatic, and so was Ken, because he was home with the baby. He was thrilled to be home with the baby by himself. He had the baby all to himself. Nobody was going to take him. So we went to the meeting, and when we got to the agency, they told us, you know, sometimes these meetings can be a little uncomfortable, a little tense at the beginning, and we just told them it won't be. It won't be. We love these people. And it was Jess's eyes. Jess's eyes And Wes's smile, yeah, that's her husband, Wes's smile that won us over, and on the DVD. So we were sitting in this big conference room, and we're just waiting and waiting. The door opens, and in they walked, and they were exactly like they had been on the DVD, exactly as we've seen them. They're the kind of people, when you meet them, you know them. There's no airs. They're just neat people. So they sat down. They were a little nervous, and I can imagine you want a baby so bad. You're going to a meeting. You want these people to like you so you can have your child, and you feel like they must feel like they're going to be interrogated. They had no idea how much we already loved them. And they sat down, and we began to talk, and it was just easy. It was easy to talk to them. And every question, Karen had so many questions for them, and every time she'd ask a question, they would answer exactly what we wanted to hear. It was like they knew what we were going to ask ahead of time, and they had a cheat sheet, you know? So I'll give you an example that won't identify anyone, but she asked, "What do you have in mind for schooling for my Joseph?" And they said, Jess hesitated a little bit, and then she said, I want to homeschool. And we were like, yes, we couldn't believe it. They were going to homeschool. We had been praying so hard that he wouldn't have to be in the public school system. And we were just so thrilled with that. It was as though God took Karen's wish list for a parent and then built the parents according to the wish list from scratch and set them in the room with us. That's how specifically and closely every one of our prayers were answered, especially Karen's prayers, because it had to be in her heart and mind, it had to be a sound Christian family. So we spent about an hour talking to his new parents at the office, and it was determined that they would come to our house that evening, just the new parents, to meet their son. I wanted them to come with me immediately because I have no patience when it comes to stuff like this. Once I know somebody's going to be happy, I want to see it right away. It's like if I buy you a Christmas gift and I know you're going to like it and it's in November, you're going to get it in November because I can't wait. So, but they had some work to do in the office. So I scooted on home. I took Karen home, and we got little Joseph all ready to meet his mommy and daddy. And he had been awake, Ken said, for maybe an hour and a half, just looking around and cooing and all. But as soon as I got home, he went to sleep. He was out. So we waited for about an hour and a half, and then they knocked at the door, and I was so excited. I made it to the door before they actually knocked, to tell the truth. I saw them drive up. I opened the door, and I let them in, and I said, come on, folks, let's go see your son. And Dad was just, he goes, oh, my goodness, no one's ever said that to me before. It was such a touching moment. We went upstairs with them, and we watched them pick up their son for the first time, and it was so wonderful to see parents meeting their son for the first time. It was just wonderful. We took pictures, and they stayed with us for about 2.5 hours, and we talked and talked. And now I want you to understand how this was just amazing. We were talking about the watered-down gospel. They didn't like that, and we talked about seeker-friendly churches and how they were so disgusted with people just watering down the gospel and not caring really about Jesus. And then Wes said to me, do you ever listen to a radio show called Bob Enyart Live? I almost fell out of the chair. Bob Enyart Live? He said, do you know of that show? And we said, well, Bob is our pastor, and I said, and I fill in on the show sometimes. So it was just a small world, and the world was getting smaller that day. So the rules were they couldn't have Joseph that night. They had to go home. And of course, they had a lot of getting ready to do. But on the DVD, she did show us, we got a little snippet of the nursery they already had for their child. So we were kind of happy about that because we knew where it was going. So they had some shopping to do and things to get ready for Joseph. And the next morning, I was to meet them at 11 o'clock at the adoption agency with Joseph, and they would take him from there. It was a tearful night for Ken and I because we were so excited for Joseph, and we were going to miss him. And Letitia, Karen is her name, Karen, our heart broke for her, although when we met with the parents in the office, Karen and I, when Karen got in the car, she said, Joe, do you see that I have no tears? She said, I am so joyful, so full of joy. Jesus has filled me with joy, Joe. She had peace. She had peace. You could see it in her. You could see that God had wrapped his arms around her and blessed her for doing the right thing, and not hurting her baby, and making sure that he had the right kind of parents through fervent prayer. You know, the Bible says that fervent prayer availeth much. Well, we saw it come to full fruition when we met Wes and Jess. She has been absolutely peaceful, comfortable, and thrilled with her decision. Yes, she will miss Joseph, but in her circumstances, it would be impossible for her to take care of him. And in mine, as a sidewalk counselor, when I talk to young women and I try to talk them out of killing their baby and putting them up for adoption because they say, I'm not ready, I just don't want a baby right now. And I mention the word, oh no, I could never do that. I could never, ever do that. I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Well, I'm here to tell you as an eyewitness, you can. I watched and took part with Karen throughout the whole process. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for her. But one of the things I said to her, because she has since I've met her and counseling with me and Rachel and Ken, she's rededicated her life to Christ, which is great. You know, how many people do you know after abortion or before abortion will rededicate their life to Christ, and when they walk out of the abortion clinic, be filled with joy? That never happens. And the burden goes with you the rest of your life when you kill your child. But we were talking. I said, Karen, do you realize when I met you, you were in desperate straits? You didn't know what you were going to do. You were so depressed. You thought there was no way out, no way that you could survive through this experience. And now look where you are. You're sitting in my car telling me you're filled with joy. Do you understand what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand how turning to him in the most desperate situations is the best thing to do? She said, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody what Jesus has done for me. And I, you know, that just thrilled my heart. So I went to the office and I brought Joseph. And one of the things that Jess had asked me not to do was give Joseph a bath before I brought him to the office. Now, you have to understand, I love giving Joseph a bath. He would scream and I would giggle and he hated it, but I loved it. And so I promised her I would not, because she wanted to bathe him when she got him. And I thought, how neat that she wants to be that intimate so quickly with her. Well, of course she would, but So I didn't give him a bath. He was a little smelly. And brought him to the office and presented him to his new mommy and daddy. And they had a ceremony. I think it's called a relinquishing ceremony or something like that, where they lit candles and we read poems. And I had one of my silver dollars to give to Joseph. And I had this little speech prepared, but I couldn't do it. I got through the first two sentences and just fell completely to pieces because I was so happy for them. So happy. And you had to see their faces. Especially, you know, we took a lot of pictures while they were at our house. And during the meeting with Karen and I and them. And then again during the ceremony. And I looked at them later. And every picture I have, Wes is just totally enthralled with this baby. He's looking at him. He's just, you can see in his eyes that he knows he's received a miracle in his arms. And the same with Jess. So I was so happy for them that I couldn't get through my speech. I wanted to tell them that, you know, I gave her the silver dollar and I told her that I wanted to tell her that the silver dollar symbolizes preciousness because it's made out of precious metal and value because it's valuable. And nowadays it's getting a whole lot more valuable. It's going up in price with this economy. And that was a symbol of how precious and how valuable that Joseph is. And I wanted her to tell Joseph, someday when he's old enough, give him the silver dollar and tell him that God loved him so much before he was born that he sent someone to give it to him. And maybe because I know they listen to this show, they'll hear this and they'll know who they are and they'll understand how precious they are to us, and they will remain in Karen's prayers and my prayers for the rest of our lives. And so will little Joseph. Don't forget, that's my story. That's my story for today, but I don't want you to forget that this is a telethon. We need to raise the money to keep Bob on the air. And it's because of Bob that things like this are able to happen. He's been teaching them on the radio. They found a place where they could go and hear truth. And we just got a $100 donation from Joe in North Glen. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. That baby is in parents' hands. And one of the ways that Karen and I knew that they would be okay is because they heard the truth, they like it, and they were able to ask us, do you listen to the Bob Inyot Live show? And that's not the only place that this show has touched. Recently, Dax, a little boy Dax, who had on the T-shirt that said, no Obama or something like that, those people were taught by Bob. Isn't that amazing? I can hear the music. The show is over. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget Maranatha Christian School, best Christian school around.